Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
What's wrong with this 80s picture, Private?
I did join the Army, but I joined a different Army. I joined the one with the condos and the private rooms.
I'm telling you, there is no other army.
The movie Private Benjamin was about how some women might not be able to hack it in the U.S. military. It was a comedy. Almost 20 years later, the picture wasn't much better.
How am I supposed to fit in with these guys when you've got me set up as an outsider?
When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you.
But a decade after G.I. Jane, more than 250,000 women have served in America's two wars. And medically, they're finding they don't fit in. What's wrong with a picture of medical care for female vets and active duty soldiers? Plenty. American woman, listen what I say. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. A little Lenny Kravitz there. It's Wednesday, December 16th, and The Takeaway is recognizing a disparity exists with medical care for male and female soldiers. Kind of an unexpected obstacle course there at the VA for women.
And when you're talking about this most private of services, it's difficult for a woman to go to a place that's clearly not designed for her gender.
We will explore that disparity coming right up.
Let's get right to it. After meeting with every Democratic senator yesterday, President Obama says...
From the discussions we had, it's clear that we are on the precipice of an achievement that's eluded Congresses and presidents for generations.
It'll likely take all 60 Democratic votes for a bill to pass. Senator Joe Lieberman, once a critic, now appears to be warming to the plan.
I'm getting toward that position where I can say what I wanted to say all along. And I'm ready to vote for health care reform.
That leaves Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson as the only known Democratic holdout. But as Democrats huddled with the president, opponents of the bill converged outside.
Kill the bill! Kill the bill! Kill the bill! Kill the bill!
While the Senate grapples with health care, the House today will vote on two bills that will extend the safety net for the unemployed and spur job creation. In the first bill, they'll decide whether to extend the deadline for jobless benefits and COBRA health coverage by 2 months. If the deadline's not extended, more than 1 million jobless Americans will lose their benefits in January. And in the second bill, the House will vote on a $154 billion job creation plan using leftover TARP money.
Some progress this morning in Copenhagen. Negotiators have all but completed a sweeping deal that would compensate countries for preserving forests. Forests are efficient absorbers of carbon dioxide. Meanwhile, hundreds of protesters at the climate summit are now marching around the venue. Police are out in force. Also this morning, Iran says it successfully tested what it calls an upgraded version of its longest-range missile. It puts Israel and southern Europe within range. The test comes hours after the House of Representatives granted President Obama the power to impose new sanctions against Iran.
It wasn't a state dinner, and they didn't crash it on purpose, but a Georgia couple somehow wound up at an invitation-only breakfast with President Obama without being on the guest list. It happened 2 weeks before the infamous state dinner incident. The couple showed up at the White House for a tour, and they were ushered into the East Room where they hit for the buffet spread and had their picture taken with the president.
Coming up, we're going to talk more about veterans' medical centers seeing a dramatic increase in the number of female patients and what that means. Are they equipped to address women's physical and mental health needs? Ann Brown joins us. She's the director of the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Ann Brown, your facility, how many women would you say you've served in the last decade compared with, an earlier generation?
Well, thank you for inviting us to talk about this.
Sure.
About 2001, we were seeing about 800 veterans here in Martinsburg. That's about just a very small minority. Now, in the past few years, we've increased that number to about 1,600 veterans. About 5% of our population now that we treat are women. But what's important to notice is that about 25% of the new returning veterans coming back in are women.
Wow.
So we're seeing a significant increase in the new OEF-OIF veterans coming
big
back.
Big numbers, big issues. We're going to talk about them. Ann Brown's going to stay with us. We'll be back with her in just a moment. Take a look at markets. The Nikkei finished at a 7-week high today. The Dow will open at 10,452. We're going to talk about food and holiday parties, give you some suggestions there. And our Life in Fine Print series continues with a look at your mortgage. A lot of fine print there. But coming up, women's, veterans, and medical care. Good morning. morning, everyone. You know, I do my little cultural history every morning, right? And that movie Private Benjamin came out in 1980, okay?
Right.
When the idea of women in the military was sort of a funny, silly, kind of entertaining, but kind of a toe in the water sort of an issue. 1997, G.I. Jane was all about Demi Moore shaving her head and going into combat. And again, that was a tough issue. A decade after that, okay, we have two wars going, and as I said at the top of the hour, more than a quarter of a million women having actually fought in the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The military is a completely different institution than it was even as recently as a decade ago. Joining us to talk about what that means for medical care, disparities in medical care, what women need in the Veterans Administration and as active duty service people lining up along with the rest of the soldiers for very special medical care. Are the needs being met? We've got Anu Bhagwati, who is a former Marine captain, executive director of the Service Women's Action Network. She's in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Anne Brown, of course, we spoke with a moment ago. She's director of the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and has reported to us, it sounded to me like a 100% rise in the number of women that you are treating compared to a decade ago. Is that fair to say?
Well, we've seen a doubling in the number of veterans we're seeing, but the percentage increase is much larger.
Right. All right, Anu, what do people that you serve in the Women's Action Network, what do they advocate for? What are they needing in terms of service at the VA and at medical facilities that serve women soldiers?
Well, we're an advocacy and direct services organization that deals with all human rights needs of both servicewomen and women veterans. And most of our clients and also colleagues would agree that the VA has a long way to go in improving services for specifically women, but for also generally for the entire veterans population. You know, even though we've got almost a quarter of a million women veterans from just OEF, OIF, Afghanistan and Iraq, conflicts. You know, the culture of the VA has yet to catch up to those numbers. You know, there's still a shortage of female physicians, female counselors, military sexual trauma counselors, PTSD groups that are gender specific, and that would be PTSD that's related to combat or to military sexual trauma. And so we're seeing that, you know, as far as actually accessing services at VA hospitals, it's really hit or miss. You know, you could go to you could have an awful experience at one VA hospital and then a decent experience at the next. So it really depends sometimes on where you live and what you have access to.
Anne Brown, if you go into a facility like yours in Martinsburg, West Virginia, what needs are you going to be looking for if you're a woman? And as Anu has described, it's hit or miss at the VA from her perspective. What are the omissions that you might see at facilities around the country?
Well, as Anna said, it is hit or miss. And here in Martinsburg, we are addressing some of those issues with the military sexual trauma and the gender-specific PTSD. But some of the things that we're adding that hasn't been provided is one location for females to come to to receive their primary care and their mental health care. And what we're trying to do is provide those services in one location so that the veteran doesn't have to go all over the hospital with the majority of men that come into the VA hospitals. And some of the gender-specific things that we're providing are bone density scans.
For osteoporosis, of course, right?
Yes, yep. That's correct. Colposcopy services within the Well Women's Clinic. We're looking into providing mammographies and obstetric services into the future. So as she mentioned, we do have a way to go, and we're looking at meeting those needs.
Anne Brown is director of the Veterans Affairs Medical Center there in Martinsburg, West Virginia.
And Anu, I mean, as a former Marine captain, obviously what I can only imagine you've been through, but it seems to me like this is a pretty urgent need here. I mean, for women, it's hard enough this is the most intimate of services, and it's hard enough to go in there with emotional trauma, especially stemming from sexual assault or something you may have experienced, but to go in there and have a system which is very male-centric, where you're not seeing female nurses or physicians, where they maybe don't even have an obstetrician. I mean, this is that would probably discourage people from even going in and getting treatment.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a little bit of a little too much optimism as it concerns kind of this flood of OEF, OIF veterans using VA hospitals. I mean,
when you say
many,
OIF, just acronym.
Iraq and Afghanistan,
okay,
veterans, right, thank you. And, you know, for a lot of women who've been traumatized by the military, so whether they've experienced sexual harassment, discrimination, or sexual assault or rape at the other extreme, you know, just the idea of entering a VA hospital is traumatizing. So often what happens is, you know, simply the idea of having an appointment will trigger a traumatic episode. Only 15% of women veterans are using VA hospitals.
Really?
15%.
So they're choosing to opt out because of some of these cultural issues. And how did that relate to your own experience?
I mean, you know, I experienced overt harassment and discrimination throughout my 5 years in the Marines, and that was as an officer. And enlisted Marines, you know, and soldiers have it much worse than officers. I chose to use the VA about 2 years into my, you know, my transition as a veteran, and was extremely traumatized. It's like running a gauntlet, just entering the lobby. You go through this sea of Vietnam era veterans who are not used to seeing the numbers of women in the military. So, you know, there's this cultural issue generational issue, but, you know, sort of the catcalling, being called
honey,
darling.
They're catcalling you in the hospital lobby?
Absolutely. I mean, it's hit or miss. You know, some hospitals are better than others, but it's not just a patient-to-patient issue. I mean, the larger problems I have are with administrative and medical staff who, again, simply don't understand that women are in the military. We're here to stay, but we have gender-specific issues. You know, we're not special veterans, but there are certain things they need to know. But they need to know that military sexual trauma exists. And even for women who don't self-identify as MST survivors, they have gone through a whole set of experiences which can be potentially re-traumatizing.
Well, Anne Brown, what is the investment that's going to be required to equalize this or to begin to address this? I mean, we've seen for all service personnel a sense of catch-up, even on the PTSD issue for all genders in dealing with some of these medical issues from Iraq and Afghanistan. It sounds like even more of a catch-up game for women.
Yes, that's true, and we are addressing those issues, and we're training our providers in military sexual trauma. We're bringing in the women providers to provide this. We're developing advocacy groups within all of the hospitals to bring the women together and tell us what they need. We have created outreach to our, especially here in Martinsburg. We're a rural hospital. We are hiring female nurse practitioners that go out and do outreach into the community to find these individuals. We screen all of the OEF, OIF veterans coming back to see if they have military sexual trauma.
It's an ambitious, ambitious agenda, and I guess the takeaway really is to try to improve that 15% number that Anu was talking about. Women need to more voluntarily self-identify that the VA has services available to them. And as you say, Anne Brown, this is something over a lifetime. These are issues for women who are aging that the hospitals are going to have to be prepared for. Anne Brown is director of the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And Anu Bhagwati is former Marine captain and executive director of the Service Women's Action Network. Thanks to both of you discussing a disparity between the medical care for women service people at the VA and men. Thanks so much. And now, at 15 minutes after the hour, let's take a look at some headlines.
The House will vote today on measures to reinforce the safety net for the unemployed. Lawmakers will vote on extending COBRA health subsidies and will pump more money into unemployment benefits and the food stamps program. In the Senate, Democratic leaders are still trying to lock up the 60 votes needed to push through a health care overhaul. Independent Senator Joe Lieberman, who had ejected the bill, is happier now.
We've got a great health insurance reform bill here. And the danger was that some of my colleagues, I think, were just trying to load it up with too much. And what happens then is that you run the risk of losing everything.
A key holdout now remains Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson, who continues to press for increased restrictions on abortion coverage.
Nearly a million doses of the H1N1 or swine flu vaccine for children have been recalled. The CDC says the doses are not strong enough. Here's Tom Skinner from the CDC.
Potency levels over time kind of waned below the government standards. And so basically our message is going out to clinicians that if they have some of this vaccine lying around, not to use it.
The vaccine is intended for children between 6 and 35 months. Those are some of the stories we're following today and all week long. American life in between the lines.
It's going to make it really difficult if we should have an issue with our bank and being able to leave.
You've been responding to our Life in Fine Print series. Next installment coming up.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.